In the gospel that was just read, it's going to be the basis of the sermon this morning. And in that gospel of St. John, chapter 10, we see different pictures of Jesus Christ as he comes to us. John included in his whole gospel, that whole long gospel, and I hope now that you will take time to read the gospel of John privately and understand these I am statements. And they're very popular, these I am statements. And this is where Jesus publicly identified himself as the great I am. Yahweh, the covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one who would use Moses to deliver Israel from Egyptian bondage. So Jesus says things like, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Just some of the I am statements. And then if you look at the Gospel of John chapter 10 that we have as our text this morning, we see that Jesus added two more images where he says, I am the gate. And further on down past what we read this morning, I am the good shepherd. Now, here Jesus drew on the very image that is very familiar to all of us, a shepherd and his sheep. I love the story about a devout shepherd who lost his very favorite Bible. We all have our favorite Bible. The one go-to thing to read the Word of God, well, he lost his favorite Bible while he was out in the pastures tending to the sheep. 3 weeks later, a sheep walked up to him carrying the Bible in his mouth. The shepherd couldn't believe his eyes. He got a little teary-eyed, and he looked up, and with stuttering words, and he looked up and he says, it's a miracle. And the sheep said, not really. Your name is in the cover page. In the time of Jesus, sheep were essential for many things. Not only for wool, but they were also food for temple worship. If you remember in your readings in the Old Testament, sheep were always sacrificed during worship. And the image of the shepherd was ingrained into the culture of Israel. Middle East sheep herders didn't use sheepdogs to drive the sheep. Rather, the shepherds led the sheep. How? By using their own voice. They taught the sheep to follow them by recognizing the unique sound of their own voices. Who is a good leader? A shepherd that can lead by their voice, and the sheep will follow that voice. Let's unpack what it means for each one of us to have a good leader. Because I think John 10 is really talking about leadership in different ways. We all want good leadership. Right now, we're depending on the leadership in our government, the leadership in our town, and we're depending on the leadership of the church to make proper decisions in regard to this virus. So we're depending on that leadership to make the right choices and to educate all of us as to what the right choices really are. Now, good shepherds come to lead us. They lead us in and out of green pastures. The trust we place in our leaders can be broken. So what are we to do? I believe that John chapter 10 holds the answer. How do you know that a person is a good shepherd? You know by looking at his or her sheep. Look at the teachings of Jesus in John 10. I want to ask you a few questions. And then hopefully we'll come up with some answers to those questions, whether it be in your heart as you're listening to the sermon or what the words that I have to share. The first question is, what are the needs of the sheep? Simple enough, isn't it? The first and obvious answer is that the sheep need protection. Jesus says that there are predators always trying to get the sheep that are in the pen, trying to devour them in any way they can. And in my mind, I visualize coyotes. I visualize bobcats. I visualize bears and wolves and cougars and all predators like that that might come and take the life of a sheep. They will try every trick in the trade to get the sheep to go over one their direction. They try every trick in the trade to climb over the walls of the pen just to get at the sheep. Their intent? To steal and rob. Not only do they need protection from the predators, but they also need protection from themselves. I guess you've already heard that sheep are not some of the most brightest animals in the world, to put it politely. They are different. I remember as a young man out at my grandfather's ranch, and we were driving around on the ranch, and he comes to one particular part of the pasture, and he stops his truck because he wanted to look over the sheep that he had. There were about 100, 150 sheep at that time. And we were sitting in the truck, and we were looking at them, and he was pointing out this with this sheep, and that was what going on with that sheep. And all of a sudden, one started running around the truck. Soon, we had 100 sheep running around the truck in a circle, continuously, fastly. And I was looking, and I said, well, Grandpa, what are we going to do? He said, just watch. He was a shepherd of the sheep. He got out of the truck, and everything changed. Because they knew that the shepherd was among them, and that chaos was not necessary again. Sheep are creatures of habit. They will graze the same hills and till there is no more vegetation available. They are also creatures with heavy coats. Their fleece can grow very long and become weighed down. And then they can get stuck in the mud and the burrs, the different debris. And so the shepherd has to be there to know when they are stuck in the mud and be able to help them out of those things. Protection. Protection is the first task of the shepherd because the sheep, by nature, are followers. That's the second thing I really want you to see from our text today, is that sheep, by nature, are followers. I love the story that is told about a woman who wanted to go to college. And I know there's a lot of talk about what college is going to look like in the fall. Are they going to have virtual classes where they do it all on computer? Are they going to allow students on campus? That's going around in the news as we speak. But this is a lady who had wanted to go to college. And she was filling out her application, and her heart just sank when she came to one question on the application. And there was a blank that said, are you a leader? Are you a leader? Now, being honest and conscientious, she wrote on the application, no. She returned the application. She expected the worst of not being accepted. To her surprise, she received a letter from the college. And this is what it said. Dear applicant, a study of the application forms revealed that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel that it is imperative that we have at least one follower. Most of us do not like to think of ourselves as followers. We want to think of ourselves as being leaders, whether we are or not. We style ourselves as leaders, but truth be told, I believe the vast majority of people that we have encountered are not necessarily leaders. Outside of parenthood, we rarely are placed in positions of ultimate care over other people. But Jesus recognizes that we are by nature followers, and that we need someone to take care of us, to watch over us. Sheep, they are followers. The voice of the one who cares for them, they know. They recognize it. They follow. But the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. What are the needs of the sheep? They need to follow someone, and they need protection. The next question then is, who will be given the responsibility to care for the sheep? Will it be the good shepherd, or will it be a bad shepherd? What ultimately happens to any given flock depends on the type of shepherd that watches over them. If the shepherd watching over the flock of sheep is gentle, kind, intelligent, brave, selfless in his devotion to the flock, that flock of sheep will thrive. If the shepherd is cruel, inattentive, haphazard, selfish, you will see that the sheep will struggle, suffer, and eventually starve. Their hardship will know no end. As we read further in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, Jesus contrasts the good shepherd with a temporary shepherd who is a hired hand. And Jesus says that the shepherds are not fully committed to their cause because they do not know their own sheep. They don't own the sheep. Have you ever been fully committed to something, to a cause, or to something like that? Have you had full ownership of some project or program? Have you been the leader of something like that? If you have, then you know what our Lord is talking about. Who puts in the most hours? Who works the hardest? Who worries the most? Who cares the deepest? It is going to be the owner, not the hired hand. Jesus says that when they see the wolves coming, the hired hands will run away as quickly as they can and leave the sheep behind. So the last question I'd like to ask you to contemplate and to think about is, what are the traits of an effective shepherd? Many traits could be listed here. I'm sure you're listing some already in your mind. But I like what Dwight D. Eisenhower said, and I quote, "In order to be a leader, a man must have followers. And to have followers, a man must have their confidence. Hence, the supreme quality of a leader is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible, no matter whether it is on the football field, or in an army, or in an office. If a person associates himself with different things, and finds him guilty of being a phony, if they find that that person lacks forthright integrity, failure is coming. The teachings of that person and the actions of that person must square with each other. Your intentions and your actions have to be the same. You can't say one thing and do another. The first and great need, therefore, is integrity and high purpose." I took the opportunity this weekend to start looking through various books that I have in my office, as well as going onto the internet and looking on the web about effective leadership. And I came up with a list of some of the traits of effective leadership, and I brought up five of them that were really present in a lot of the readings that I did. Okay, for effective leadership, first of all, a person has to have courage. Courage. Leaders expressed ideas to help others improve in spite of personal risk or opposition. Courage to proceed on, no matter what is ahead. Number two, non-conformity. Non-conformity. I guess putting it basically the simplest is, simply swimming with the tide will get you nowhere, basically. You have to go into areas that is tough for currents and be nonconformist. Third, foresight. The ability to look ahead and to be able to see what is yet to come towards you. Fourth, steadiness. Steadiness. Having patience and persistence despite failures and obstacles. And the last one, righteousness. The willingness to do the right thing and speak the truth. Those are just some of the marks of a true leader. But no one on this earth has gone as far as Jesus has in becoming the true leader of the flock of Christ. Jesus has always had a way of summing up the meaning of everything. And as I reflected on the Bible and how Jesus has talked to me in the Bible, I see that he took the Ten Commandments and he said, love God and love your neighbor, and then you will fulfill the law. When the disciples were in a quandary and they didn't know how to pray, the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And what did Jesus say? The good shepherd said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he also says, a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, we can't argue with that. That is true leadership. We will spend our lives trying to be imitators of Christ, and likely we should. Even Martin Luther encourages us to be little Christs as much as we can in our lives so that we can do the things that Christ wanted us to do. And yes, some of us are leaders. Some of us are shepherds. Some of us do lead the flocks. But all of us, we cannot lose sight of who our shepherd is, the good shepherd. The one that leads us ultimately and gives us advice of how to lead in this world, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Someone we can trust, Jesus. And I hope our leaders of today are someone who will lead us and someone that we can trust as well. Someone who has our best interests at heart. Someone who will not disappoint. And that is Jesus. The good shepherd of the sheep. May you not be fearful of being in the flock. May you join in the flock of Jesus and get involved in his ministry in some way or form. May God bless the sheep in the church and those who shepherd them. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.